Sounds fun, right?
Trying to figure out how to do comment on this because it's so dumb. When you really think about it, yeah.
Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we're here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. I'm Carly Duke, and sitting across from me is Chris Roby.
Hey, guys.
Hey, so we are ready for another week of the Teen Life Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And today, our first topic especially is a little heavier.
It is.
But it's one that I think we need to discuss, especially when talking about teenagers. And so today we want to start off by talking about self-harm.
Right. And I feel like I still remember one of the first times I came across this. And it was, I wasn't quite prepared on how to deal with it and even know like what category of response was required from me as a helper, you know? Is this, are we calling the police? Are we calling parents? Are we just dealing one-on-one with them on this? And so I remember the first time feeling like, I know this is obviously not good for the student, but what kind of help do they actually need? So...
Right. So I want to talk about that, but I also first want to talk about like what is self-harm and how do we see it in our teenagers? Mm-hmm. So for anyone who is maybe not for sure what we're talking about, self-harm, or you might hear it called self-injury, that's any form of hurting oneself on purpose. So this is different from a suicide attempt. Usually they would harm but not be trying to kill themselves. A lot of times it's a way to release painful emotions, or if they're not really sure what to do, it's just a way to take the focus off of maybe what they're feeling into something physical.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important note, that this is not a suicide attempt.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are two very different conversations. I think whenever you do find out that your student or a student that you know is self-harming, that's not the potential outcome that they're looking for.
Right. So some types of self-harm that you might see are cutting is one of the big ones, or scratching. I knew when I was in middle school, there were girls at my school that were doing that. That's kind of the way on their wrist was a way. Or I've seen girls do it maybe on like upper thighs, places where it's not going to be seen as easily. Burning's another one. Carving words or symbols into skin. I feel like this one is even maybe a little more popular with boys.
Hmm.
I knew boys in high school that did this, would take a really hot knife and carve in their skin.
Wow.
Hitting or punching oneself, or bringing a head against a wall, piercing the skin with sharp objects, pulling hair out, even like eyelashes is something that I've heard about, or picking at existing wounds. So not letting a wound heal could even be a way of self-harm.
Interesting. This, just to kind of loop back around to something you originally were talking about with, like, you wonder why, you know, like, why would you hurt yourself?
Right.
And for maybe someone who hasn't been in that mental headspace, I think it's good to think about, you know, what are they trying to accomplish when they do hurt themselves? And so it's this manifestation of internal pain. Express the pain in a way that they can feel. I don't know. I mean, help me out on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes it more tangible, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, if there's something going on emotionally or mentally and you don't know what to do about it, for a teenager, they can do something about it physically. And so that is something they can do. Sometimes you'll also see it as a call for help. A student might do this and leave it where you can see, because then someone is going to ask the question. And maybe no one knows that they're struggling emotionally, but they can see they're struggling physically, and then you can ask questions, and it could be an attention getter.
Absolutely.
And so there are lots of different reasons. And I think a lot of times people assume, I don't have stats on this, but I'm sure you could look it up. People assume that this is a female problem, that you hear self-harm more in the context of girls. But this is also something that our guys struggle with as well, and it might just come across in different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. This is also a behavior that's, for lack of a better term, contagious. That this tends to happen in groups, and this is a very shareable, almost a can be a community thing, which is not obviously awesome.
Right.
Matter of fact, what we talk about with our support groups, when we train schools and train volunteers to lead groups, we specifically say you would never want to do a self-injury support group.
Right. Tell us about that. Why?
Basically, the idea is that it's an act that is done in secret. Mm-hmm. For obvious reasons, you don't really want to share that you're hurting yourself. And so it's sometimes to keep something secret, you have to be creative. You have to be, you have to kind of get around your parents, get around your teacher so they don't know. And so just lots of secrets are shared. This is the way that, you know, I've done this. This is a place in my body I've done this. This is the way I've done this. This is the way I've hidden it. Mm-hmm. And it's a strange kind of a community building thing that a teenager would go through. And so we wouldn't want a support group where kids could share that stuff and get better at hurting themselves.
Right.
And we attempt to do no harm, obviously, in our groups, and that would be a harmful thing.
Right. So it's not to say that a self-harming teenager couldn't be in a group. You just wouldn't want a whole group.
Yeah, you want a whole group. Yeah. Yeah. Because they'll feed off one another and give rise to more secretive behavior.
Right. So you're talking about that it's secretive. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the hard things about self-harm is that sometimes it's hard to catch. Mm-hmm. And so I would love to talk about some warning signs or red flags that if you're an adult in a teenager's lives, if you see some of these things, maybe ask questions. Mm-hmm. Because there might be something going on. So an obvious, if you're seeing scars, especially lots of scars are in places you're like, I don't remember them getting hurt there. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a question to ask, or fresh cuts, burns, scratches, mm-hmm. bruises. I've heard of girls burning themselves with curling irons. And then they'll say, oh, I dropped my curling iron. Mm. But if they're doing it over and over again, at some point you go, are you just super clumsy, or is there something else going on that you're not telling me?
Right. I would also say, too, if you see a kid, or adult for that matter, who maybe is wearing like short sleeves, and they have a lot of scars on their arms. What do you think when you see that? If you see a teenager that just, I mean, obviously their arm is pretty mutilated, and it's obvious that they have cut in their life, but you don't see fresh scars. What do you think?
Well, I would think that's something in the past, but I would also want to ask questions about that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you have that. You know, you want to ask questions, but also a lot of times that's a sign of courage.
Mm-hmm, totally.
With those kids of like, you know, I don't cut anymore, but these are the scars that I carry. And so I've seen kids in support groups who will do that as they go along and realize, you know, I need to be myself. I need to not hide from this. And so if you ever see a kid who is, you know, willing to show those scars, I think it's okay to kindly ask, and, you know, like, support.
Tell me about this.
Hey, tell me about this. Yeah. And not shame, obviously, and not be skeptical and not like stare, but, you know, this is the way that they are showing courage because they've overcome this.
Right. And speaking of sleeves, that is a red flag if they're wearing long sleeves only, mm-hmm. or if they're wearing like sweatbands or something, big bracelets on mm-hmm. their wrist all the time. If it is summer, we're in Texas. If it's summer and 100 degrees and they're wearing long sleeves, maybe that's a red flag that they're trying to cover something up. Or if you're finding razor blades, box cutters, things like that, plastic knives even. Some other red flags similar to depression or other mental health issues. If they're having difficulties with relationships, if they're being impulsive or unpredictable, especially if they're disappearing, if they come home from school and you know it was a really bad day and they're disappearing for a long time, ask questions, because there might be a reason that they're going in their room or their bathroom and not sharing things with you. So coming up on that, Chris, what do you think? What are some things that we can do if you see a red flag or you're worried about this?
I think even though we said this is not necessarily suicidal behavior, I think it is kind of treated the same way of being forthright, honest, not bringing shame, but are you hurting yourself?
Yeah.
You know, if appropriate, you know, you can show me and understand and help them understand there are better, healthier, more sustainable ways to deal with your pain than mutilating your body.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you with this behavior, there's a lot of shame that comes along with it because you cover up what you're ashamed about, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just in general, that's how we do this. And so them being able to show you those scars and getting the help that they need and not making them feel worse about it is really crucial. But I think treating it very similar to the suicide conversation, are you cutting yourself? Are you hurting yourself? Can I help you? Because this is not going to end well for anyone.
Right. And I think talking to any teenager of, hey, if you see a friend or if you're worried about a friend, go to an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're not necessarily thinking that your teenager is hurting themselves, they might know a friend who is.
Mm-hmm.
And so talking through that with the teenager of what would you do if you saw your friend had cuts?
Mm-hmm.
What would you do if a friend told you that this was happening?
Mm-hmm.
And have that conversation as well. And then obviously it's okay to seek help and get that teenager help, whether mm-hmm. that's a therapist or a counselor or going to the school and saying like, hey, is there someone my student can talk to?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to handle this alone.
Mm-hmm.
And there are ways that you can just ask questions and tell them what you're seeing and also get them the help that they need.
And I would add real quick too, before we move on, you know, it's the difference I think in this conversation than the suicide conversation is this is almost a higher trust factor kind of conversation, because with suicide, that's life or death, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you might die if we don't have this conversation. And obviously self-harm, if it went wrong, could go that path too. But for a kid to truly open up to an adult and be able to talk to them about this and share is a high trust relationship.
Yes.
And so make sure if it's not you, that you can find someone that they can really trust to mm-hmm. talk about this, because this is about as personal as it gets for a teenager. And, you know, this is something that's going to affect the outcome of a lot of things in their lives.
Hey friends, let's take a minute to just talk about three easy ways that you can support the Teen Life Podcast. So the first one is to listen and subscribe. And congrats, you've already done half of that because you're listening to me right now. So if you haven't subscribed to the Teen Life Podcast, go in your favorite app and subscribe right now so you never miss an episode. The second is to share it with friends. This is easy. If you hear a topic that you think they would love, or you just know another adult who loves teenagers, send this on. Pass on the link, share it on social media. We love it when you invite your friends to be part of this with us. And then finally, review us in your favorite app. We obviously love the positive reviews, but we're here for anything. So take a minute to share, to review, and obviously subscribe so you never miss another conversation.
For the trend this week, Chris, have you heard there is a TikTok trend? It's honestly kind of fizzling out a little bit, but
thankfully,
but I also have, stay tuned because there's more news coming up about uh-huh. this, but devious licks. Have you heard about this?
I have, because I have a friend who works maintenance at a major school district and is dealing with the outcomes of this problem.
Man, that would not be a fun job
to have
at this particular uh-huh. moment in the social media lives of our teenagers.
No, he's not happy about it. So tell us about devious licks.
Right. So licks, that word can mean robbery or theft. And so devious licks is a TikTok challenge that was put out for students to steal something in a devious or diabolical way, especially from bathrooms. And then they would post it to TikTok with hashtag devious licks. Sounds fun, right?
Trying to figure out how to do comment on this because it's so dumb when you really think about it. Yeah. But
I know. Yeah. I will post an example, not of the actual video, but I found a video on TikTok that is a teenager walking into a bathroom. There are no mirrors. The soap dispenser is gone. I'm pretty sure the bathroom stall door is gone.
Wow.
I mean, the things that kids are figuring out how uh-huh. to take things is, I mean, unreal.
Uh-huh.
Unreal. And so I'll show that. The hashtag devious lick got more than 175 views on TikTok.
175 million views.
Million. I'm yeah. so sorry.
Uh-huh.
That's a big difference.
Yeah.
So they had 175 million views. And then TikTok took down the hashtag mm-hmm. to discourage the behavior.
Mm-hmm. Well, school districts were freaking out. I mean, oh, they're yeah. Properties being damaged and by the way, if my friend's listening to this, I'm not laughing at you. This is just it's pretty insane to think that this is a thing you're having to deal with. But yeah, so school districts were like, we got to stop this, and there's gonna be dire consequences for this, and you know, I think it's maybe why it's fizzled out a little bit. Obviously TikTok intervening helps, but
yeah. It does, but you can still find it if you misspell devious, add a U in there. I mean, like, you or add an extra letter somewhere. Uh-huh. You can find these still.
Uh-huh.
But apparently this was just a September challenge. But in the case, I mean, you said this, but I've seen emails from schools telling kids, you're going to be punished. We're watching you. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. Kids are getting arrested. They're getting suspended. It's so funny, Chris.
It's not funny. I'm laughing about this.
They're all, but I mean, I've seen that schools, like, I saw one that a kid took COVID tests, like rapid COVID tests that a school had, or they're taking masks, or they're taking the hand sanitizer. So schools are also worried about safety, because now with COVID, that adds a different layer, and kids aren't able to wash their hands because there's no soap.
Wow.
I mean, it's just like dumb. Kids being kids.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't think they realize when you have so many kids doing it at once, it causes a really big issue. And when I was reading up on this and doing research, there are schools who are banning phones and backpacks so they can't film it.
Wow.
Backpacks so they can't take stuff out of the bathrooms with them. There are some schools that are escorting kids to the bathroom, so you have to be watched if you're in the bathroom at all times. And it's just one of those things from a school perspective. We work with schools.
Yeah, yeah.
They have enough going on. They don't need to be walking kids to the bathroom when they're in high school.
Oh, exactly. That's part of why I'm laughing. I've been doing a lot of talks on just adolescent development, and this is like peak adolescence right here.
Oh, yeah.
Of doing something impulsive and stupid and not thinking about the consequences. Mm-hmm. But, you know, on the flip side, adults having to manage that and put this all on social media where, you know, there's no running away from it. Mm-hmm. You're on TikTok, you know. And
there are cameras in the hallways of the school.
Yeah.
If you're walking out with a stall door or a urinal because urinals were being stolen,
yeah,
they're going to see you can't fit that in a backpack.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's a good segue to the other list that you found.
Oh my goodness.
That we potentially could be seeing.
Right. So I'll post these links, but there was a USA Today article that cited another site that was talking about that there's a list going around for the rest of the school year of challenges that are going to be happening with this devious lick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's insane. Apparently, this is going around on TikTok and Twitter. I won't even read all of them.
The Teen Life podcast does not endorse this list.
We do not. Some of them are words that I probably shouldn't say on this podcast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, and hear me say, first of all, this can go two ways. I told Chris this beforehand. Either this is a list that kids are laughing at and nothing is going to come of it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, look at how ridiculous this is. And it's spreading just because it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Or this is something that we do need to take seriously and be aware of. Mm-hmm. So either way, not a bad idea to talk to your student. But apparently for October, the challenge is smack a staff member, which I would hope that teenagers are wise enough to know.
Don't assault your teachers.
That is a horrible idea. Yes. But apparently schools, which I get, you would think that the bathroom vandalism wouldn't be a thing, and it was.
Right.
So they have to take this seriously. Mm-hmm. But I've already seen that schools are sending out emails about this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to assault a staff member.
No.
Ever.
Not for TikTok or for any other reason.
Exactly. A few others. November is kiss your friend's girlfriend at school. Bold. Go for it. Sure.
Okay.
Mess up school signs, make a mess, ditch day, flip off the front office.
Okay.
Is one.
Don't, yeah. Gotta love our administrative staff. You can't do that.
Yes, exactly. One, I'm not gonna say the word, Chris, but December apparently is deck the halls and show your.
The thing that.
Blank, your private, some private parts.
Yeah, rhymes with halls.
So there are just, I mean, all kinds of things that I'm sure teenagers would think were funny and would not be funny on a large scale.
I'm sure of all the show notes that we put out, this is the one that people are actually going to read.
They're right? We'll post the list.
Yes, we'll post the list so you can see it.
If you want to go see it. But just coming out of this, make sure you're aware if you haven't heard of this. Talk to your teenager. They might not have even heard of it. Or maybe they're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense because there's not a faucet in my bathroom anymore. I
can't wash my hands in the bathroom anymore.
There's no toilet paper. And so just make sure you're talking to kids about what is funny versus what's inappropriate and what kind of crosses a line and doesn't need to be done. So make sure you're having that conversation with your teenagers. For the tip this week, kind of coming back because we just talked about TikTok. And I mentioned this maybe a few episodes ago. I can't remember exactly when I mentioned it, but Teen Life created the ultimate adult guide to TikTok. This is the ultimate.
Yes.
The ultimate. I created this. I feel really good about it.
It's awesome.
Yes. If you are sitting there going like, oh, TikTok, I just still don't get it. This is a PDF. It has a few stats. It has some things that you need to know about TikTok. And so if you go to teenlife.ngo/TikTok, you'll find it. It's free. You just have to put your name and email in. I think that's it. And it'll be sent to your inbox. So that's a way that as we're talking about TikTok, you just might still be like, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. Is this something I even need to know about?
Right.
And so we've put everything an adult needs to know about TikTok in one place for you.
This is an incredible resource because this is where, for the moment at least, this is where teenagers are living.
Yeah.
This is where they interact. This is where the humor comes from. This is where you learn how to vandalize restrooms, apparently. But this is just where teenagers are. And so we could record this podcast in 2 years. It might be something different.
Right.
In our experience, it probably will be.
Mm-hmm.
But as an adult, it's good to know this stuff. Let's not be scared of it. Let's be educated. And Carly's guide that she put together is really great. And we would also reference back to our very first episode on TikTok that's back a little ways in the feed as well. That gives you more of a broad overview of TikTok.
Right. So go to teenlife.ngo/TikTok for the guide. Share it with your adult friends. If someone else is talking about TikTok and they're lost too, share it. And so y'all can talk about it and feel like you are more up to date on all things TikTok.
All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.